talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 204. McMonagle here with you. If you're just tuning in because you thought this is when I start, where you been? I got on at 1 o'clock. It's Monday morning. That's very typical for a Monday. Get with it. 888-808-1019. I don't know. I bruised my knee somehow. It is killing me. And it's always scary when you don't remember doing it. I don't remember doing anything where my knee would hurt, but the top of my kneecap is so sore. Killing me. Hope everybody had a good weekend. The Mets had a good weekend. Let's be honest. I know I was kind of pessimistic about both teams for the first hour because we've just seen such miserable baseball for such a stretch. But after blowing that first game of the doubleheader against Milwaukee, to come back, win those two games, and then take two out of three in a Yankee series, which, I mean, the pitching matchups couldn't have been more. I mean, the Mets weren't throwing real starters for two out of the three games, and the one starter they did throw was Montas. And they were going against Rodon and Snell and obviously Stroman, who didn't pitch all that bad either. I mean, listen, for New York Yankees at this point, five innings of three runs for Stroman is what you're looking for. And I thought Montas pitched relatively well. He had a, you know, fifth inning with a couple of bloops. But to win that series against the Yankees, coming in with those pitching matchups, and even in this game, let's be honest, they fought back. They fought back. They had a 5-0 deficit with Max Fried on the mound, made him work. He had threw 97 pitches through five innings. The Yankees didn't play all that great defense behind him. I know, obviously, that it was kind of a misplay from Trent in center field. He's also still dealing with a little bit of a tight hamstring. I don't think he's moving all that well, but that's a play that got to be made. Jeff McNeil, again, poor. I don't know if it's poor base running, but he assumes that ball is going to be caught, and he's tagging up instead of being able to score on that ball. So you've seen, again, poor base running, because if he does go halfway and score on that ball, you know, you've got Marte, now it's second and third with one run in already instead of just bases loaded, and then the ground ball up the middle, base hit, scores the other two runs. Now it's three runs, and you're looking at maybe a tie game at 5 instead of 5-4. So when the next inning happens. So we saw a bad base run, we saw some things, but still overall a very positive weekend for the Mets. 4 in a row after that embarrassing performance over the weekend against Pittsburgh last weekend is a huge couple of days for the New York Mets. So you're feeling a little bit better, but there are things you don't like. You are looking to hopefully get Senga back this week. Hopefully Manaea back. That'll at least help and go a long way. It's going to be the last time you see pitchers and games like this where you're not throwing legitimate major league pitching out there. You're going to replace it with a guy, Senga, who's had an under 2 ERA this year and arguably your best pitcher all last year, Manaea. So hopefully at least there's answers there for the New York Mets, where I really feel like the answers are hard to find for the New York Yankees. They have to come from within. They are going to get Luis Gil back, but when? And is he going to have a long enough ramp up to feel like he's a good starter going into the postseason, if they're even in that position? And they've got a tough schedule. They got Seattle and the Cubs heading into All-Star break. You know, you got to play at least, you know, you got to play 500 here. Bare minimum. You got to figure out a way to take one of these series. But they're not going to get all the things they need. Luis Gil's not enough. They need a legitimate third baseman. They need two arms in the bullpen. They need, I mean, and maybe Cruz comes back at the end of August. Maybe. They say he's feeling good, and the oblique was, even though it was a grade one, he's feeling better than they thought he would feel. Okay, great. We'll see. But answers for the Mets in the rotation, which is their biggest issue. They'll still need guys in the bullpen to continue to prove that they can come back. You need Reed Garrett to bounce off of this that 4th of July two-inning outing that helped them win that game and was huge for them. Brazoban has to come back to pitching, you know, much better. But at least you feel like there's answers. I don't know what the Yankees are going to do, man. 888-808-1019. Dominic in North Carolina. What's up, Dom?
Chris, I want to talk to you about you.
You want to talk to me about me?
Yes, I've been listening to you for years. And, sir, you are an optimistic good-natured person who looks on the bright side of things. You don't call for Boone's head or for Anthony Volpe to be shot at dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was listening to your show on Saturday. You had all kinds of technical problems in the noon hour. You didn't lose your mind. You're not like some other guys on this station who, if the wrong sports minute gets loaded, they blame everybody else and want the whole crew fired.
Yeah.
And listen to me. It's then, at that moment, that I had an epiphany about you. You are an old-school Met fan trapped in a Yankee fan's body.
Is that a fact?
I don't mean a newfangled, yes, not a newfangled fan like Licata, but an old-school one like Summers or Doors from Rigo Park or guys like me who used to collect Dairy League coupons to go sit in the upper deck of Shea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, you need to consider Met fan conversion therapy and admit your truth. I'm telling you, you need to stop living a lie. Deep down, you have the constitution of an old-school Met fan, not a Yankee fan.
And in what way, though? Like, what do you mean by that? Like,
I just outlined it all. You look on the bright side of things. You don't blame others. You roll with the punches. You're not entitled. You're an old-school Met fan deep down. You're too damn nice to be a Yankee fan. You need to admit your truth.
I agree with you on that. I'm too damn. Thank you for the call. I am too damn nice to be a Yankee fan these days. That you got to be furious with them. You have to hate them, otherwise you're not a Yankee fan. So that there is that. I definitely agree with you on that. I'm an old school Met fan. I guess I could, listen. This is where I just disagree with most Yankee fans. I do think you've pointed to something about me a little bit. I get really, and people ask me all the time, why are you so tough? Like, you know, even Brent in Long Island will kind of vaguely bring this up. He does it with you're a jerk and you don't care about the Giants, instead of asking the question. But many people will ask me, you're tough on the Giants, but the Yankees can do no wrong. And it's not that the Yankees can do no wrong, or that you're killing the Knicks coaching search. They should have fired the Yankees. Don't fire Boone. You don't care. Like, okay. There's a difference. There is a difference, and I guess this is where I'm different than a lot of Yankee fans. The Giants are not just not as good as we hoped they'd be. The Giants don't just, you know, get to the NFC Championship and spit the bit and don't play as well as we thought they would. Their seasons are dead before Halloween. Like, how out of the last 10 years... we don't have football seasons around here. Like, the Giants don't garner the goodwill with me. I've watched this organization. Yes, they've won two championships, and one of them is even more recent than the last New York Yankee championship. Okay. They were great. They beat the undefeated Patriots in one of them. I'll love Eli Manning to the day I die. That throw to Manningham in the second Super Bowl, I think... you could argue that's the greatest throw in NFL history. I love that team. I love Coach Coughlin. I love the whole thing. But then it's been 10 years of trash. It's been 10 years of one of the worst organizations in the sport. It's been 10 years of drafting at the top of the draft every year, and that's the most exciting part of the season. See, you know, and season's dead at 1-4, 2-5, 1-6 every single year. How many years have they won 4-5 games? The Yankees do enough, despite not winning a championship, and I'm not overly joyed about it. I'm not throwing parades for it. But they do enough to at least garner some ill will and some benefit of the doubt with me. And I don't know why, you know, most Yankee fans don't feel that way at all. They hate everything they do. Like, I think Anthony Volpe is a perfect example here. Like, I was thinking about this the other day. I am not pleased with Anthony Volpe. And I said at the beginning of the year that if Anthony Volpe doesn't have a significantly better offensive season, he should not be the starting shortstop next year. Or at least they should bring in someone to seriously compete with him. He should be handed nothing next year. Nothing. So I understand the realities of guys don't just get forever. But it feels like, and maybe this is why Anthony Volpe's father is fighting Met fans in the stands. If you haven't seen that video, I think there's curses in it. There's really no point to playing it, the audio, but he gets into a fight with Met fans at the building at Citi Field yesterday. Like, we should be rooting for Anthony Volpe. And I know he's frustrating, and I know he hasn't performed well. And I'm not saying that we should all be happy with him and just say, hey, he's a homegrown kid. But like, when he's, even when he's playing well, and he was at the start of the year, the venom was still there. Like, why is there venom around this kid? Why do we hate him? Why do we mock the idea now that he's a homegrown, loved, grew up loving being the Yankees? Like, it feels like there's no longer room to root for Anthony Volpe. You have got to have already made this decision that he sucks, he's a bust, and I need him off my freaking team tomorrow. I can't stand looking at him. And while I'm open to the idea of him not being the shortstop next year, I also don't hate him with a passion of the and the burning of a thousand suns. Like, that's I'm the foolish one, maybe I'm the naive one, maybe it's my inner old school Met fan, I don't know. But I don't despise the kid. I'm rooting for him. I hope he turns it around. And I at the beginning of the year, I was quick to jump on the, hey, he's having the better season. Let's go. Let's stop yelling about it and acknowledge that, yes, he's not a star, but he's having a far better season. He's one of the he's top two or three in RBIs at the shortstop position. He's got a 767 OPS. Like, let's cut the kid some slack. Nobody wants to cut him slack. We got to despise him, otherwise you're not a Yankee fan. You've got to hate Brian Cashman for 30 years of success, otherwise you're not a Yankee fan. You have to say that those championships in 98, 99, and 2000 had nothing to do with him. He doesn't deserve an ounce of credit for them. It's been a mockery for the last, despite the fact that, yeah, they win the World Series, yeah, they win the division, yeah, they get to the ALCS all the time. Yeah, they're constantly giving you a season. Yes, they're constantly, playing meaningful games at the end of the year. Not good enough. And I suggested firing him in 23 after that miserable season. And I'll tell you this, if they miss the playoffs this year, I'll be right with everybody else saying it's time to move on from him and Boone. Can't miss the playoffs this year. Him and Boone would have to go. But I'll thank him on the way out for giving me more joy than any other team I root for. So I guess that's, I don't know if that makes me an old school Met fan necessarily, or even optimistic about the Yankees. I think I'm fair about the Yankees. I never declare them, oh, they're going to win the World Series. I never say they can't be beat. They're unstoppable. They're the best. I just don't look at a week in June and say, well, that tells us everything we need to know. They have no chance of winning. When they continue to pull out of this year in and year out, and I'm very concerned that this will be one of the years they don't. I am very concerned now. Because I don't know where the answers are coming from. But again, we have to hate them. We have to despise them. We have to think Boone is the worst manager in the world. Cashman's the worst GM in the world. They're all a bunch of idiots. Otherwise, you're not a true Yankee fan, and you're a homer, and you're not seeing it clearly. And I also love, which I've heard a lot, especially lately with the Francesa clip, which again is tremendous. But whenever someone hears something they agree with, you tend to hear, and he tells it like it is. Whenever you agree with something, it's someone telling it like it is. Tony in Tom's River. What's up, Tony?
Chris, what's up, dude?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Doing well, man. I just wanted to call and, kind of chime in on what you're saying and take it a step further, if you will, man. And you were even saying earlier, what can Boone do different? And I think one of the biggest questions that really needs to be asked is, what can we do different as a fan? What can we do different? Because for a very long time, we've been a very negative city. And all we do is beat guys up when they're down. And how do we expect these guys to get productivity if we're just beating them when they're down? Why don't we take a page out of Philly's book and you know, cheer somebody on like Trey Turner when he was doing awful.
The Mets have done that. They had a Lindor thing a couple years ago about trying to cheer Lindor on. Look, I don't think we have to go that far or tell fans necessarily. Look, we're going to be critical. I get that. It's just the level of criticism and the vitriol and the idea that we like hate these people and they make my life miserable. Like Yankee fans act like, and again, this goes back to the Jeff Passan thing about, you know, whether or not, you know, when I hear Yankee fans complain, I say, shut the hell up. What's it like to be a Pirate fan? Now that's too far. We shouldn't just be happy that they're, you know, a competitive team. I'm not saying you should be happy with it necessarily. I'm just saying like they were in the World Series last year and we keep saying this is the same thing as last season. Can you imagine any other franchise in the sport, in all of sports? Like, can you imagine a football team going, oh, my God, they've lost 3 games here in October. This is just like last year. If they were talking about a team that went to the Super Bowl last year, like, no other, like, that doesn't exist anywhere else. No other team in sports would be like, oh, my God, I can't take it. This is last year all over again. No other team that just went to the championship game would say that. But yet here we are. Talking about, oh, my God, it's just like last year. Well, last year they won the American League. And again, you have to bring home a championship. Otherwise, it's not a successful season. I still do agree with that. Like, there's only one way to ultimately be happy at the end of the year. You have to win a championship. Otherwise, it's not good enough. I'm on board. But there's, like, and again, I also agree with the idea that, you know, Boone, whether I think he's doing a good job or it's his fault, whatever the case may be, he can't just go forever without winning a championship. You have to win a championship. He just got an extension. Even I, the Boone, you know, defender, even I would say he can't get another contract without winning a championship. Like, he has to win eventually. He can't be here for 12, 15 years without winning. I don't know if it's, like, I would still say I don't think he's done a bad job or I don't blame him for all this, but at some point, you got to make changes. I'm on board with that. I just, you know, I don't understand some of the vitriol. And again, like these June swoons, we talk about, oh, it's just like last year, just like last year. They went to the World Series. Oh, but Chris, they beat the Royals and the Guardians. Who cares? Okay. So the series against Toronto, the series against the Cincinnati Reds in June and July are more important and more telling. And more to the point about where the organization is than the ALDS and the ALCS. Those games are meaningless on the way to the World Series. Meaningless. They were easy. They beat the Kansas City Royals. They beat the Guardians. I mean, really, Chris? Who cares? And then they got embarrassed in the World Series. But the idea they couldn't beat Cincinnati 2 out of 3, that's where you really find out who a team is. Like, that's where I just have a problem with that thought process. But that is all just noise compared to what we're looking at with the team right now. Like, this is all just noise about whether or not, you know, Boone's messaging and all. Like, where is this team right now? Are they good enough? And are there enough answers? And can this deadline impact the team enough? Can Rodon pitch in big games? Can the back end of the bullpen in Weaver and Williams actually be good enough to feel comfortable with the lead? Can this rotation throw out enough good starters? And can this offense, that's been doing it now for about a week through the Toronto series into the Mets series, scoring enough runs, can they continue to be better with runners in scoring position and put runs on the board and go out there and find a way to get back on track and be the team they were for the first 70 games of the season that gave them a 7-game lead in the division? Can they find that team yet again? That's the question. All the other stuff is just us yelling at each other.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Right. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So, you know, every once in a while, I get surprised a lot. It happens. thing surprised me. I got to tell you, I don't know if I've ever been more shocked in my life. I don't know if I've ever been more surprised in my life than what I heard today from Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso said something today that damn near knocked me off my feet in just sheer shock. Pete Alonso has announced he will not be in this year's Home Run Derby. He has decided not to do it. I am completely floored. And this isn't even to mock him, maybe a little bit, because that's, you know, trying to have some fun here. But the dude loves competing in the Home Run Derby. He loves it more than almost anything else. Like, I don't know if I love anything as much as Pete Alonso loves competing in the Home Run Derby. He loves it to his core. He loves doing weird things. He loves going down into the batting cage. He loves working out. He loves the mental grind of it all. He sits in the hallways just in meditation. When he wins, he wears the chains out to bars at night. I mean, this guy loves the Home Run Derby. I cannot believe the year he's having. Last year was like, well, I mean, maybe because last year he did it only because he thought it could get him into the All-Star game, and it did. But this year, obviously, well-deserving of being an All-Star, had an incredible start to the year. He's cooled off a little bit, but still having a very, very, very good year for Pete. And is well-deserved to be an All-Star. And he's not going to contribute. Off of this year, he's not going to go contribute and play in the Home Run Derby? That is absolutely stunning to me. Nobody. No, and listen, he's been great at it. Last year, not so much. But for the most part, I mean, the dude's been incredible at it. This is his time to shine. He loves this thing. I am shocked Pete Alonso is not going to contribute into the Home Run Derby. Absolutely stunned. I mean, it actually shows growth for me. Good for him. Good for him being able to walk away from it. Right? What's the is the line from Heat, never get yourself attached to anything you can't walk away from in 30 seconds? Like, that's Pete with the Home Run Derby. He needed to be able to convince himself that he could not do it. That he could be okay. And I don't know if he's going to be okay. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't know. I bet you he doesn't go anywhere near it. I bet you he's not there. I bet you he doesn't. And if he's there, he'll try and make a spectacle of himself because he's got to get involved. But I think he's going to stay away from it completely because I don't think he can watch it. I bet you it's too painful. I think this is a very, very difficult decision for Pete. But it's one of growth. It's one where, you know, it's about, you know, eventually you got to become an adult and you can't do, you know, you can't be involved in all the reindeer games all the time.
So what's the heat around the corner for Pete?
I'm stunned he doesn't want to do it. Stunned. That was his thing, man. I thought he was going to be in every one the rest of his career. I really did. And listen, it's cool to be. And listen, as a Met fan, you want to see your guys in. I'm slightly disappointed that Judge doesn't ever want to do the Home Run Derby, a little bit. He says he'll do it again when the game's at Yankee Stadium, if that happens. But you like to see your guys compete. Judge was in it once, won it, doesn't want to do it again. But I would love to see him in it. You're a little worried about the jinx of the slump, or even, you know, I in 17 when he did it, there were some thoughts that contributed to a nagging shoulder injury the second half, and he wasn't nearly as good in the second half as he was in the first half. But I am shocked Pete doesn't want to do it. And we'll get into the All-Star stuff a little bit later. Look, people, we get so hung up on the All-Star game. Like, I'm seeing Yankee fans all over the place upset that Julio Rodriguez is in and Bellinger isn't, especially after today's game. Bellinger with that defensive play. We got to really talk about that defensive play and how incredible it was, and how for a team that just has made nothing but bad defensive plays to save the game like that, what an incredible play and hopefully, season changing and hopefully direction changing and hopefully they go out and have a really good series against Seattle, who just threw three consecutive shutouts with their pitching staff. Hopefully they can find a way to win a couple games and feel good going into the All-Star break, which they desperately need. But who cares? Like, and again, and here's the, and Soto too. I know Met fans are furious Juan Soto's not in the All-Star game, or at least, you know, hasn't been as of yet. We'll see who drops out and if he can make his way in. But like, do we really care all that much? And I'll say this as I'm, you know, kind of getting on Yankee fans a little bit, which is, I guess, become my thing. You know I love you, but we just disagree on some things. If any Yankee fan is going to, here's a tip for you Met fans. Do not listen. If a single Yankee fan tries to use this as another way to talk about how, you know, Juan Soto was a better Yankee, he was an all-star as a Yankee, he's not even an all-star as a Met, the guy was the third best. I saw a couple tweets like, the guy went from being the third best hitter in baseball to not even an all-star in a Met uniform. Like, he had a slow start to the season. Every team has to have somebody on the team. Like, every team in the organization has to be given a role and a player in the All-Star game. Juan Soto's had one of the best, since June 1st, and probably even a little bit before that, but since June 1st, you're looking at one of the three best hitters in the game. Who cares if he's an All-Star or not? He's going to be with the Mets for 15 years. Why do we get hung up on this crap? You know what? It's probably better for him to just go relax for a couple days. And Bellinger, yeah, I'd love to see Bellinger be an All-Star. I think he's worthy. I thought, let's be honest, I know it's been a terrible month for him, but Goldschmidt at the start of the year had a great year, and he was right there in the voting for the first base, and Rice has had played well enough. Trent Grisham's played well enough. There's absolutely an avenue for more All-Stars for the New York Yankees. And as a Yankee fan, I can tell you this. I don't care. At all. I don't care at all. I'll get over it real quick. I suggest you do the same. 888-808-1019. But we are going to have a tough time. Met fans, it's going to be a unique situation. Not seeing that goofy, fun-loving SOB out there taking part of the All-Star festivities and the Home Run Derby. It's going to be awkward. What's a Home Run Derby without Pete Alonso? And it's funny, too, that I guess it hasn't gotten any buzz or anything. We'll see what happens now. Last year, it was a big deal. MLB wanted him in the Home Run Derby. He would only do it if he was an All-Star. It was like a big thing. Now, all of a sudden, just on a random, you know, post-game show, yeah, I'm not doing the Home Run Derby. Oh, okay. MLB doesn't care this year? Weird. 888-808-1019. John in Queens. What's up, John?
Yeah, Chris. Good morning. How
are
you doing?
Good morning. Listen, how are you?
I just want to know why all these years Don Mattingly was never picked for either a manager or a bench coach for the Yankees. I just was wondering, because I think the Yankees need a new voice. I really do. And I know you're a Boone. You know, you want to defend Boone.
Mm-hmm.
They need a. I mean, it's like stale. It's a stale voice. They need a new voice.
Okay. It's not an unreasonable take. They were in the World Series last year with that stale voice, and they were in first place up until 3 weeks ago. To suddenly say now it's a stale voice because they haven't come out of this slump. I get it. But with your Don Mattingly point, a couple things. One, he was the bench coach of the New York Yankees under Joe Torre the last couple of years of Joe Torre's career.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And I missed it.
Yep, no, he was. He was the hitting coach for a while, and then he became the bench coach. So he has been on the Yankee staff. And then he went and managed, and quite honestly, he wasn't very good as a manager. He was okay. He had a decent run with the Dodgers, but they, at that point, were kind of known as the team that could never win the big series and play terribly in the postseason. And then he was the manager for the Marlins, and he wasn't given a great team and had a great opportunity to win, but ultimately didn't do a great job there. Now he's with Toronto. What about Don Mattingly, though? Like, okay, they need a new voice. Why do we have to go to Yankee greats as if Don Mattingly's voice would be like, what about Don Mattingly in particular makes you want him to be the manager other than, you know, he was the best team in baseball for 3 or 4 years, and he's a great all-time Yankee.
Yeah. I get you.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, he did, as Fliegelman would tell you, he enjoyed his Dodger managing in the NLDS in 2015. I remember Don not being all that good of a manager. I don't know why anybody would want Don Mattingly. Other than he was a great, like, if you want to have a conversation about moving on from Boone, look, I'll be totally honest with you. If they fired Boone tomorrow, I'm not going to cry. I'm not even going to come on the radio show and go and scream and go nuts and scream about how the hell could you fire Boone. I think it would be a mistake. I wouldn't do it in the middle of a season. I don't see how it, I don't think they will do it. Boone has also shown the ability to get the team out of these slumps and back into the postseason, which is really all you can expect at this point right now. Again, you can't win the World Series in July. So it's just a matter of they have to get there. That's the first thing, first and foremost, right now at 8 or 9 games over 500, 3 games back in the division, they have to get there. And he has shown a tendency, yes, to have the June swoon. It also comes with rallying and making the postseason. Again, I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all, but right now, who else? What else would you expect from a manager coming in? Like, that's, if you were to bring in a new manager and he got the team to the postseason, all of you Boone haters would call it a massive success. See? It worked. But I'm not opposed to firing him. If Steinbrenner and Cashman got word that they, or just feel like he's hampering them in any way, and they want to move on midseason to go to Brad Ausmus, okay. I mean, you want to do it? Go ahead. I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not going to scream about it. I'm going to say it's a mistake, and I don't agree with it, but they're playing poorly enough, and it's been long enough. I can't scream about it. But again, I just, the idea that the message has gotten stale, okay. Where on this team do you think they're better? Like, where are they better? And that Boone is dragging them down. I'll give you the Jazz decision. I don't understand why Jazz is still on third. I think that's an organizational thing. I don't think that that is a Boone decision on itself. But I do think, and I'm different than, and this is where also a lot of people think differently than me, I think Boone has every right to just go against it. If Boone felt strongly enough that Jazz should not be playing third base and he wanted to play DJ LeMahieu at third and Jazz at second base, he has the ability to do so. I think this is a collaborative effort with him, Cashman, the analytics team, the whole bit, the whole stuff we hate. But it's a collaborative decision that they have decided is what's best for the team. They're not doing it because they deliberately want to make the team worse, although it feels that way. They have their reasoning. I don't understand it, and I disagree with it strongly. But I do think Boone, so I blame Boone for it. I absolutely blame Boone for it because we saw last year when they traded for Jazz, Cashman's on record. He traded for Jazz with every expectation of him being the second baseman. And then Gleyber Torres showed no interest in wanting to move over to third and told him, I don't want to do it. And Boone said, okay, we'll play Jazz at third. Now, when people say, well, then it's not really a decision, Gleyber told them no. That's nonsense. He absolutely could have said, Gleyber, you're playing third today. If you don't want to go out there and play third base, you're not playing today. What is Gleyber Torres going to do? If he told him you have to play third, Gleyber would have played third. Now, he would have done it begrudgingly, and it might not have been very good for him. And ultimately, it was the right decision because both of them were in the top five of their position the rest of the way in the second half. Gleyber was a top five second baseman who ended up being their leadoff hitter and was extremely productive in the playoffs. And Jazz ended up being a +8 run differential and defensive run saved at third base and was offensively really good. So the decision worked out. It's not working out this year. For whatever reason, he's not the same defensive player. And now he's got the shoulder injury. Like, I got into a big argument on Twitter that Boone and Cashman are to blame for a shoulder injury. That's ridiculous. Boone and Cashman aren't to blame for him having a sore shoulder by moving him to third. That's baseball. Yes, the throws are longer, no doubt. And now that he is injured with a shoulder injury, I think that's even another reason to move him to second base. Because now he's dealing with a shoulder injury, and that's probably what's making these throws as bad as they've been. It's another reason to move him to first base, but putting him at third is not inherently dangerous. It's not like, oh my God, how could you put him at third? He's going to hurt his arm. He played third how many games last year? He played center field. He was thrusted into that. He didn't get hurt. Like, it's not the Yankees' fault that he got hurt. But now that he is, that should be taken into account and put him at second base. I still don't understand it. It makes absolutely no sense to me. But to me, I think that's proof. Aaron Boone is not a puppet. Aaron Boone can do what he wants. Aaron Boone believes in this for whatever reason. I have no idea why. But I don't think the voice has gotten stale. They were in the World Series last year. They peter out this season. They don't make the playoffs. Bye. But they have consistently come back. And that's what, when I can't tell you how many people say, oh my God, it's just like last year. It makes me laugh. Just like last year, they went to the World Series. Like, okay, it wasn't good enough, and they failed in the World Series. Fine. You're going to tell me that's because of the June swoon? And then the other thing that I hear all the time is, you know, I heard it on the Midday Show, too. It's like, and the problem is, you hear it all over the place, and the problem is, it's the same things that have prevented them from winning all these years that are now showing their real ugly head. The base running, the defense. Show me a series, and I'll give you the World Series last year, even though I could still tell you it's about not hitting and Judge's performance. But sure, the fifth inning, disaster, game one, you know, the bad play on the throw from the outfield that allowed Ohtani to get to third, which tied the game, 100%, right? Let's just give it to last year. A lot of the bad baseball stuff was the cause for losing the World Series. Give me another one. Give me another series where the Yankees lost because they had their heads up their ass on the base path, or because they couldn't make a defensive play, or because, you know, they played boony ball. They lose because they don't hit. Bottom line, almost exclusively. That's it. They don't hit. That's why they lose in the postseason, year in, year out. Going back to Joe Torre, going back to 2004. When they don't win the World Series and they go home as a loser, it's because they don't score runs. It's not because they drop the baseball everywhere. It's not because they don't know how to play. It's not because of outfield throws. Last year was. That's it. But, like, again, oh, my God. It's the same as last year. I hope so. Right now, looking at this team, I hope it's the same as last year. Let's go to Bob in Bayside. What's up, Bob?
Chris.
Yes, sir.
Let me say one thing. Soto is hitting, what, 258 for the year. He's hitting about 160 with men in scoring position. Mm-hmm. Are those all-star numbers?
No, those particular numbers aren't all-star numbers, but again, his OPS.
Well, that's why he's not in the all-star game. That's why he's not in the all-star game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not screaming and crying that he has to be there, but I would argue that his track record, who he is, and even the numbers he has this year, it would be warranted to put him in the all-star game. If he was voted to the all-star game, you think that would be a travesty?
Not with those numbers. There were about 14 or 15 players hitting over 300 this
year. Who cares about
you? Batting averages aren't what they used to be. That's mm-hmm. your point.
Yeah.
But if with the money he's making, shouldn't he be hitting 300?
No. I mean, no. With the money he's making, he should be hitting 400. But that it's we can't worry about that. Like, you know, he's had his OPS his season. He's not impacting the Mets enough just yet. But he's had an incredible June and July so far. He's a great player. He's got an OPS over 900. You want to give me how many players have OPSs over 900? It's not as
well. You're right about that. Okay. Yeah. Well, let me say one thing.
Yes.
I don't know how I can make this bet, but I want to bet as a Yankee fan that at the end of the year, the Yankees have a better one-loss record than the Mets do.
They
have a better team. They have better starting pitching. They have a better bullpen. And not of late, but you know they have a better starting staff.
Right now, I don't know. I don't know how you could say that. Right? I mean, today, yes. When Senga and Manaea come back, and you have Senga, Manaea, and Holmes, and Peterson, you think the Yankee four match up with that? Senga, Manaea, Peterson, Clay Holmes. And then fifth is Frankie Montas. All right, so that's your rotation for the Mets. The Yankees are Snell, which I'll give you. Even with Senga pitching as well as he's pitched, I'm still going to tell you that the best pitcher of the bunch is Max Fried. Did I say Snell? I don't know why I said that. Max Fried. I would still tell you Fried is the best of the bunch. Maybe I'm biased. Senga has had a great year, but he's been doing it for the whole season without injury. He's been their stopper off of losing streaks. He's been great. But, I mean, from there, again, you have to see Manaea pitch. But Manaea, Senga, Peterson, Clay Holmes, you could make an argument, especially with the way Carlos Rodon pitches in big games. You could make an argument the next four best starting pitchers are the Mets' top four. You can make an argument that Peterson's better. You can make an argument that Clay Holmes has been better. You can make an argument Manaea is better. And certainly Senga is better. I don't know how you could possibly say that you know for sure, for certain, that the Yankees have a better starting rotation than the Mets. If Luis Gil comes back and pitches lights out, yeah. And if Cole never got hurt, then absolutely. But that's not where we are. I like Will Warren, and they just lost Clark Schmidt. Their rotation's in real disarray for the first time all year. I'm not putting their rotation up against anybody at the moment. 2 weeks ago, I would have gladly agreed with you, and we could have laughed and laughed. I'm not laughing today. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
What a wonderful weekend, huh?
What a wonderful weekend. At least it ended okay for us Yankee fans, but it was a good weekend for the Mets.
This weekend was like you wanted to pull your teeth out with a plier.
I thought the Toronto series was much more like that than this Mets series.
Yeah, today. Well, the Toronto series, forget about that. That was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on with Coach after you left. I got on with Danielle.
On
we were talking, yep. And she agreed with me. I say you put Cody in left and Dominguez in center. And she agreed 100%. And what about the play yesterday?
Why?
And Dave DeBacon. And Carlos Rodon, one more time. Carlos Rodon. He doesn't show up in big games, does
yeah.
he?
No, I mean, listen, I think earlier in the year he has done a better job. There's two things about Carlos Rodon that had stood out or that our concerns were. He lets little things bother him and games
lets little things get to him.
And spiral out of control.
Right.
And then he doesn't pitch well in big games. The first one I think he's been much better this year at. We have seen bad calls, errors behind him. We have seen him really not let innings and games spiral out of control. I think he's kind of answered that question. But the second one about games, well, I think significantly, I do. I haven't seen a game just spiral out of control. He gave up a grand slam in the first inning to this game. Like, the games he's been bad, you tell right away. It hasn't been like, oh, he's cruising, but here it comes. Like, we've seen that over and over again the first 2 years of his career with the Yankees. This year, that was not the case. He has been much better at controlling the game. But the big game spot, I agree with you. He has yet to prove that he can pitch in a big game.
He can't pitch in the big game. Mm-hmm. And you want to trust him in October?
You have to. I mean, it's not what I want to do. They have no choice. He's going to have to be trusted.
We should get the Advil and get rid of the
Yeah, of course. Yeah, listen, we'll see. He makes too much money. He's going to get a playoff start. And he has a chance to be dominant. He's had a great year or a really good year. But you can't trust him in the big spot. I totally agree. I'm going to be nervous.
And Bellinger yesterday.
Great play. What about Dominguez in center?
I want Dominguez in center.
Why?
He played more games in center field in his career than he played in left. And he seems to be having a problem judging balls hit directly at him.
Well, they don't get hit directly at him in center?
What?
They don't get hit directly at you at center?
Yeah, but he's more comfortable out there.
He's more comfortable. He's not a good enough defensive player to play him in center field. is not.
Well, where would you play him?
Left field. No, I'm playing him in left field.
And then when he misjudges balls, he's always coming in.
He he's not. Listen, there's no doubt. And he let a ball drop in the Saturday game that has to be caught. There's no doubt he's not a great defensive player. I'm not. I don't want to move him to center and hurt center field. Sorry, I don't. I don't think it's going to get any better in center. I don't think he's any more comfortable. I don't think you're going to see a. You think he's going to be a good center fielder? I'd rather play Trent Grisham and Cody Bellinger in center than play him in center. That ball could have easily yesterday been hit to center field. It was happened to be hit to right to left field. And again, just because he's down right now, and I'm his guy, and even I'm annoyed with him because how could you not be annoyed with him? They're just awful at the moment. But and I know this is coming from Sean Marash. I'm going to preemptive a Sean Marash take coming up today later on the show as Evan is. Doing Rico Bronya's live from Paris, France. It's just amazing. Is there anybody less suited to be like comfortable in Paris than Evan Roberts? Like going to a nice French restaurant and getting like some fancy, I can't imagine it. He's probably looking to his father-in-law to see if he can sneak any, chorizo quesadillas. But, I don't know where I was now that I started making fun of Evan. Oh, yeah, the Sean Marash take. I hated the lineup, too, yesterday, but you got to admit, here's the thing. You don't have to like the lineup, and you can hate the reasoning behind it, and you absolutely should be playing Jason Dominguez. I totally agree. I play him in left field, but Dominguez has been so hot. He's one of their best hitters. I was absolutely stunned. They did not play Jason Dominguez yesterday. But you have to admit, it worked. Like, that's where the difference is. When it doesn't work, we kill him. No matter what the thought process was, no matter if we liked it or not, when the Yankees talk about process, we go absolutely nuts. It's not about process. It's a results-oriented business. So even when we hate the process of the lineup, you have to admit when it worked. The manager put the lineup on the field that won them the game. Bellinger in left won them the game. If Dominguez was playing left, now you could tell me Dominguez goes 4-for-5 with 2 home runs and a triple and drives in 6 and the Yankees win the game comfortably and they don't need that play. Fine, maybe. I don't know. But I can tell you what we saw on the field. If Dominguez was in left field, they lose the game. Plain and simple. Now, Chris, you're going to put him in DH too. You know, you could have DH'd him. Okay. You know they're not going to. They would have played him in left. If Dominguez was in left field, the Yankees lose. The lineup won the game. You have to be willing to admit it. You want to kill him, you have to kill him when you want to kill him. But you have to admit, Boone putting together that lineup won them the game. I hated it. I didn't like it. I still not sure why they did it. Won them the game.